It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. I think Jesus deserves a little more than that, don't you think? Let's give Jesus a big clap. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to, first of all, thank everyone for being here tonight on Good Friday. Those words, Good Friday, for such an event like this, for some, doesn't seem like it goes together, does it? I've even heard pastors say we don't actually hold services on Good Friday on purpose because there's nothing good about Friday. And I beg to differ. Why do I beg to differ? Because if there wasn't a Friday, there would be no Sunday. And I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to forget things. Tonight is a night about remembering what Jesus did. And by the way, if you're wondering, he said it. And I believe it, and I know you do too. It is finished. And he gave his spirit up. It is finished. Tonight is a night I really do commend you for coming on such a beautiful Friday in Portland. We don't get a lot of those. But you've come. You've come. You've come to honor our King. You've come to say, Jesus, you're Lord. To say, thank you. May we never, ever forget the power of Friday. The moment that death thought it had won, Jesus said, I don't think so. It is finished. It may be Friday, but Sunday is coming. There are so many things to thank and love Jesus for, aren't they? The list can go on and on. But one of them that I want you to think about tonight specifically is the way that Jesus prepared his disciples for his death. And the same way, honestly, that he prepares us to remember what he's done. You see, Jesus, all throughout Scripture, we see this even in the 23rd Psalm, it says that the Lord prepares a table before you. And I want to remind you the power of the Lord's table. Tonight, we're going to talk about communion. We're going to talk about the power of the Lord's table. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn in them to Luke chapter 22. And I'm going to read that in just a moment. And Jesus, up until Friday, this last week of his life, has been preparing the disciples for his death. And as you read, if you were to go back, and I'd encourage you to go back and read it, you'll see such interesting discourse between the disciples and Jesus. It's like they can't believe it's going to happen. They think they're not sure what he's saying. And in fact, even up until that moment, they start arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus is saying, I'm about to die for you. And they're still arguing. Have you ever missed the point in your life? We should take solace that even the disciples missed the point from time to time. And they were with Jesus. Tonight, I want to remind you about the power of the table, the Lord's table. You see, in Luke chapter 22, and we're going to skip down to verse 7, it says this. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. Where do you want us to prepare for it? They asked. He replied, I love how Jesus works this. He says, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owners of the house, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. Wow. So two things I want to talk about. We're going to pause right there. The first thing, you may be newer to the faith. I want to commend you for coming, or maybe you're not even a believer. You might be asking yourself, what is the unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb, what is that whole story about? Well, if you were to go back in time, go back into Genesis and then read through in Exodus, you find out this amazing story about these people called the Israelites. They're in slavery. They're in captivity. And by the way, it's not the kind of slavery or captivity where you get to watch cable and work out in the yard. This is brutal conditions. They're whipping you. It gets worse and worse and worse. And they begin to cry out to God, save us. And God sends Moses. Moses shows up, and they're not happy about it either, because the moment he shows up, they double the workload, make it even harder on him. And then God decides to set them free by sending plagues to finally get Pharaoh to be convinced that he's got to let them go. And the last plague is the one that might seem to be the most painful and shocking of all. The firstborn would die that night. Now, just so you know, I'm a firstborn. My wife is a firstborn. Titus, who's coming back getting hydrated, he is a firstborn as well. And before our buddy Taters came along, there was a time in our house where there were only firstborns in the house. Can you see where I'm going? To go to a restaurant was a problem. To go to the park was a problem. To go to the church could be a problem because we all had our own opinions of which way we should go. Where are my firstborns in the house? All right, I didn't know that about some of you. Some of you, that explains a lot, okay. We like things the way we like them. We're in charge. We know we want to go this way. The firstborn. Now, here's what's interesting. Not only were they to die, but it also went even to the firstborn of the animals. So in Egypt, there comes this night when, because of the slavery and sin, God says, I'm finally going to turn the tide with one last plague. And Pharaoh will have to let you go because the firstborn, even Pharaoh's son, is going to die. But I have made a way for you, the Israelites, the ones that are the people of God. I've made a way. I've made a way for the death angel to skip your house. And how was that? By the blood of the Lamb. And they would take the blood and they would put it over the top of the post, and then they would actually put it on the side, but they would never let it go on the floor. Why? Because the blood never gets to the floor. And the death angel came in that night, and you can read throughout scripture, the people were wailing and mourning. The cry throughout Egypt was horrific. It was horrible. People were mourning and sad. Even Pharaoh's own son was dead. But the people of Israel, the death angel would show up, and as soon as it saw the bloodline, it would pass over. That's the power of the blood of the Lamb. Come on. We'll wake you up here in a moment. It's going to get even better. They were in their homes. They sprinkled blood, and they went to a table. The family all seated at a table. And here is something that I think we have to recapture, church. I want to read something that's not on the notes. I left it out on purpose. I just want you to hear it. Exodus 12:14 says, this is the day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Here's what it's saying. You are to do this repeatedly in your homes at your dinner table. The problem that I see with the American church is that we like to have church and be all about Jesus and come to the table and have communion on Sunday, but we don't do it at home. The husbands have not taken it upon themselves to lead their homes that way. Wives have not done this with their kids. The kids have no idea what it's like to serve God at home. How do I know that? Stats that Barner's putting out over and over that people at church read their Bible here, but they don't read it at home. They don't follow God anywhere else except for at church. But at Portland Christian Center, I say, no way. We're going to take it home with us. We're going to take him home with us. You see, we're supposed to be doing this regularly, not just at church, but at home. And here's the big idea, is that communion should be an at your house experience, not just an at your church experience. What are you leaving at church that should be at your house? I'm going to say that one more time. Communion should be an at your house experience, not just an at your church, at your home experience, not just an at your church experience. Why is that so important? I don't know about you, but I need the blood of the Lamb in my house. There are things that we're praying for miracles, protection, freedom, relationships. The table is a sacred place, isn't it? Think about it. Where's some of the best conversations at your house taking place at? The dinner table. At our house, we always ask two questions. What's your high and what's your low? Sometimes the highs are pretty high and sometimes the lows are pretty low. But there is so much that can happen at the table. But I wonder if the powerlessness of your life is because you've left the table at church and you have not taken him home with you. You see, John 1:1 says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. In another translation, it says that he moved into the neighborhood. He came home with us. Jesus came to you. He said, look for a man with a jar of water, hopefully a lot bigger than this, on his shoulder. And he's just walking. Could you imagine being the disciples and hearing the description that Jesus is saying? Now, I think they're okay with it. And you want to know why? Because the week before he said, go take a donkey from somebody. Right? Like, this is the second time he's given them a pretty strange, you know, instruction. Like, okay, this is probably going to work out okay. But I want you to think about it. You're at your house. It's a nice day. You're getting ready for dinner. It's Passover. So you're preparing. I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about what had been on the table. You're preparing Passover. And all of a sudden, these strangers walk up to you and say, hey, the master said that we're going to be eating at your house tonight. I'm telling you what, if an angel hadn't said, or some word of the Lord or something would have said that you needed it, how many know you would have been like, go to my neighbors? Or I'm sorry, I don't know you. I don't think this is going to happen. But obviously the Lord knew that this is where it needed to happen. This is the way it was going to happen. He prepared it for them. And I want to just say something that I hope will resonate with you, is that your table has anointing and power if you bring Jesus home to it. But we also know that we're supposed to practice hospitality. When was the last time you invited somebody into your home? And not just to eat, but had communion with them. Hello. Like, you were like, hey, that was great food. You want dessert? Sorry, not just yet. Bring out the communion. We don't do that, do we? Or maybe you do. I don't know. I haven't done that in a long time. What if we brought that back? Communion is for your house, not just at church. And it's for the strangers. Jesus is modeling something to us, isn't he? He's saying, I'm coming to your house. I'm going to have dinner with you. There is resurrection power in me, and I want that to be in your house. not just left at the church. It's meant to be at your house. Turn to your neighbor and say, your house. And if it's your family member, say, I know, it's our house. Communion is the only sacrament. I love this. Communion is the only sacrament that we get to taste and touch. So much of what we do in our faith is by faith. In fact, it's the definition that we see in Scripture is that faith is the substance of things hoped for and certain of what we do not see. But Jesus says, I want you to remember, so I'm going to tie in what I'm about to do through food. And I don't know about you, but there's no greater way for me to remember something than over food. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Verse 14, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles, I love this, reclined at the table. Anybody got a nice recliner at your house? Some of you do? Okay, oh, some honest people. All right, some nice with the massage in the back. Okay, I'm going to your house. We're having communion later. Reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave them thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and giving it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. I'm going to pause right here for just a moment. Remember. Do this to remember. Remember in Exodus, what does it say? Make this a lasting ordinance so that you will not forget. It was fascinating. We're reading through the Bible right now as a staff in Genesis, and then it goes to Moses in Exodus. He passes it on to Joshua. Does anybody remember what happens when Joshua dies? It says that it rose up a generation that did not remember the things that God had done for them, and they went back into slavery. That's how slavery came, because they forgot what God had done. They did not repeat the ordinances. And dare I say, church, they did not take it home with them. In fact, one of the last things Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm praying and believing that there'll be a righteous indignation after this service that all of us here will say, at my house, we're going to serve God. At my house, we're going to have a table where there's communion, because I need the power of God in my home. I need the power of Jesus to be with me. As I was studying, I listened to a few different sermons and studying some different passages and things, and someone made a statement that kind of bothered me, and I didn't know if I agreed with it. Now, I hope that hasn't happened to you yet tonight. Maybe it has. But the person said that the opposite of remember is not forget. And I was like, what? He said the opposite of remember is to dismember. And I had to look it up. And I actually found proof that it was true. Article after article said that the opposite of remember is dismember. And one of the articles helped me understand it, because here's what it said. When you pull things apart, you forget. That's where the etymology of forgetting came from. I don't know about you, but our lives go pretty fast, don't they? From work to school, Mael and I were just talking about our calendar the other day, and we were thinking, wow, we've got a lot going on. But one of the things that we look forward to in our house is we come to the table. And you know what we tell the boys? Turn the TV off. Anybody else with me on that? We turn it off, we ask our highs and lows, and we talk. And we have relationship, because there's power at the table. There's power in remembering. And I want you to write this down. Communion has the supernatural power to remember what has been dismembered. Communion has the supernatural power to remember what has been dismembered. Maybe you're a family that, if you're honest, on the way here to church, it was a little dicey, maybe a little icy. There were arguments, there was fighting, we were struggling. Now, don't poke your neighbor, I can see that, all right? But there wasn't harmony. One of the beautiful things that Jesus does at the table, and you can see it in the disciples, they fight and they argue, who's the greatest? And Jesus is like, guys, I'm going to bring you back together because I'm about to suffer and die for you. Communion remembers. It brings things back together. It brings back together the whole reason that we're here, doesn't it? We're here for Jesus. This isn't about me. This isn't about a building or anything else. This is about Jesus. He's preparing you and me to remember him until he returns again. Because it's so easy to have things dismember, isn't it? Let's go back to the verse just a little bit more. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So at Passover, a traditional Passover would have something called a cedar plate, would have at least five items, sometimes six. And I only have three up here right now. Some of them would be the wine, the bread, but this one is interesting to me. Now, you might be wondering if this is authentic. No, it is not. This is not even edible. This is a prop. Okay, but one of the important elements that was on a table was something called bitter herbs. And the reason that they were to have bitter herbs was that they were to always remember the harshness of slavery, the pain of slavery. And one of the most unifying things I think that we all share in life is that we go through pain. Anybody in this room that says they haven't gone through pain, maybe you've been living in a bubble your whole life. But I think everyone would say, there's been parts of my life that have been hard. Death of a family member or a friend, sickness, disease, somebody betrays you, a relationship that you thought would last forever, it's gone. Kids that have left that don't serve God anymore. The truth is sickness and pain and death. God said, I never promised you a life without those, but he said, I have overcome. And so the reason the table would have this is to remember this. And then another part of the table would also have water with salt in it. And that has to do with the tears. That the pain and the sorrow, what is God trying to get you to remember? That you've been through bad things. It's cost you. It's been painful. It's been hard. And yet, what's also at the table is lamb. The lamb. The lamb is sweet. It tastes good. And what does the lamb do? It's the sacrifice for your sins and mine. It's to remember that there was a sacrifice. So, as you'd be eating, you'd have bitter. You have salt and water, but then you'd have this lamb. And here's what we need to know, that we need to have more of Jesus than ever before. I've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And at this particular juncture in Scripture, when they're having the Lord's Supper, did you know that there's no lamb on the table? No lamb anywhere. You can go back and read it yourself. Fact check me if you want to. But there's no lamb. But you know who's sitting at the table? His name is Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, once and for all. That's why Good Friday is why we come. It's why we remember, because he has the power to do what only he can do. Amen. The Passover is meant to be remembered over and over and over. Because the Lamb washes the bitterness out of your life. Some of us need to remember that we're not to walk through life bitter and angry. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's why we come to Jesus. That's why we take communion over and over and over to remember what he's done and to plead the blood of Jesus over our lives. There is power at the table. There is power in the name of Jesus, supernatural power. If the blood of the Lamb could keep the death angel out, how much more could the blood of Jesus Christ heal your body? I want to remind you of something. Isaiah 53:5 says this, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus, his blood, has the power to heal your body. And not only that, his blood has a secret ingredient. Have you ever got blood on a shirt or anything in your clothes or anything? It stains it, doesn't it? But the Bible says in Revelation 7:14, and he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb washes your sins white as snow. If you're here tonight, and you'd be honest, you'd just say, Pastor Nate, there's sin in my life that I need Jesus to wash me white as snow. I've lived my life my own way. I've done things that I know are wrong, and I need Jesus to forgive me. If that's you today, tonight, did you know that you can ask Jesus to forgive you and he'll make your sins white as snow? Look at what the Bible says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. How many of you think that's a good thing? So would you bow your heads for just a moment? I think there's some people here that want to respond to the Lord. If you're here and today's your day, that you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. You want him to wash you white as snow. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray right now, even now that you'd begin to convict hearts. There's power at the Lord's table. Before we take communion, we want to have our lives right with you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would stir our hearts right now. If there's any sin in our lives, specifically right now, if you're here tonight and you know that you are not following Jesus, you want to come home to Jesus, tonight's your night. Tonight's your night. If that's you, would you just raise your hand right where you are? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, awesome. So the second call is this. If you're here and there's sin in your life, you love Jesus, but you know that there's sin and you need the blood of Jesus to wash you white as snow. Tonight is your night. Would you raise your hand? Thank you. I see those hands. Lots of hands going up. You want the blood of Jesus to wash you white as snow. Thank you, Jesus. You want your life to be right with Jesus. Lots of hands. Thank you. You can put your hands down. So I'd like everyone to repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I confess my sins. I'm a sinner in need of you. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for conquering death, hell, and the grave for me. Once and for all, the perfect sacrifice for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to receive communion. Titus, would you hand me one of my elements down there, buddy? Thanks. In just a moment, Mark's going to sing a powerful song about the blood of Jesus. And I want to prepare your heart for this, because my prayer is, as I tell you to stand, I'm going to sit. Can you see me okay? By the way, if you didn't get a communion element, raise your hand. There's ushers passing them around. Raise your hands high if you need some. Here's my prayer and my challenge. That you would take communion at your house. Some of you are like, Pastor Nate, I don't know how. I'm going to teach you. We're going to do it right now. So tomorrow's Saturday, and sometime tomorrow, my challenge for you is to go get some grape juice, some bread. If you want to get something else, we'll leave that up to you. But my challenge to you is to take communion home. It's meant to be at home as well. Not just at church, it's meant to be at home. So on Resurrection Sunday, my prayer is that all of you here would find me and say, I took communion. There's power. My house is different. There's joy in my house. Our relationships are better. We love each other. I got healed at my house. I got set free at my house. The enemy has no place in my house. My kids stopped having nightmares. I finally turned the television off and turned on Jesus. And I took communion with my kids. There's power at the table. So, for all of you who are now freaked out thinking, how am I going to do communion at home? I'm going to teach you. Are you ready? Pull out the Bible just like I did Luke 22. Might be something, oh, I got to write that down. All right. Luke 22. Read the passage. And all you got to do is grab the bread, hold it up, and say, thank you, Jesus, for your body. Let's all say that together. One, two, three. Thank you, Jesus, for your body that was broken for me. Good job. We'll repeat that together. That was broken for me. I take heed of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take it together. It is delicious, Tate. Thank you. This next part, once you have the revelation, which is simply just the understanding of what the power, where the power really is, it's in Jesus. This is a symbol. But the power of the blood is this, that when you remember Jesus and you pray the prayer of faith, there is healing in the blood of Jesus. There's healing. Some of you here, you need a miracle in your body. I was talking to somebody on the way in. I said, I asked them about what their ailment is. And I said, I'm praying. I'm going to believe that Jesus is going to heal you tonight. He's going to heal you. And tonight after Mark sings, I'll come up here one more time. We're going to have prayer partners up here, and we're going to pray the prayer of faith, and I'm believing people are going to be healed tonight. I'm believing God's going to set some people free. I'm believing some relationships are going to be restored tonight. I'm believing that people that are having a hard time seeing, their eyes are going to be opened. I just believe that Jesus did communion just like this, because it's one thing to know about him, but to experience him is another thing as well. Please hear my heart. There's a generation that's being lost because the family of God has not done family at the table with God. There is power in communion. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. So here, repeat after me. I'm going to teach you. Sorry, I got excited one more time. I had to do a little talking. So hold the juice up. Simply do this on me. Say, Jesus, thank you for your blood that washes me white as snow. I receive you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take together.
Hello, my name is Pastor John, and I'm the online campus pastor here at Portland Christian Center. I wanted to first of all thank you for listening to this message, and our prayer is that what you heard today has inspired something within you on your journey to discover more of who God is. I do want to give one more opportunity to accept Christ, so if you're listening today and want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, then please pray this with me. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer to accept Christ, congratulations. We at Portland Christian Center call that decision your best yes. And we are here to help you walk forward in your faith journey. So whether you receive Christ today or are curious more about Portland Christian Center and what's happening here, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. That's pcctoday.com.